Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the MNB Engineering Limited's Q2 and H1FY26 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. Please note that this conference may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company on the date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Malav Patel, Joint Managing Director from the company. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Dear shareholders, I extend a very warm welcome to you all to our Q2 and H1 FY26 results call. I'm assuming that you would have had a good chance to look at our numbers, which have been published, and our earnings presentation, which also has been uploaded on the stock exchanges as well as the website of the company. However, after I complete my briefing, our CFO, Keyur, as per our past practice, will take you through our key numbers. From a top-line growth perspective, I am happy to report that we have achieved an overall strong growth on all fronts in the current quarter, more or less in line with our expectations. Thus, to elaborate, the consolidated revenues of the company have grown by 49% in Q2 of FY2026 and 57% in H1 of FY2026 on a year-over-year basis. Both our key operating divisions, that is the ProFlex Roofing Division revenues as well as the Phoenix, which is the Pre-Engineered Buildings Division revenues, have grown quite satisfactorily during the period on a year-to-year basis. Even on a quarter-to-quarter basis, the revenues have grown quite strongly, as elaborated in our detailed earnings presentation. Particularly noteworthy is the fact that in Phoenix Division, our exports sales mainly to the U.S. markets stood at a much higher number of around rupees 54 crores against the exports of only rupees 3 crores registered in the first quarter of FY2026, which was mainly owing to the fact that in Q1, some shipments made could not be booked as income earned because of the revenue recognition principles, but which were booked in Q2. If you recollect, we have indicated that our past trend, H1 sales are generally in the range of 40%-45% of our annual sales. Our total H1 revenues in the current fiscal stood at rupees 544 crores against H1 revenue of fiscal year 2025 of rupees 346.79 crores, suggesting a strong overall revenue growth that we are targeting in the current fiscal. I'm also happy to report that we have a very healthy outstanding order book of about 930.56 crores as of September 30, 2025, comprising of the Phoenix Division order book of rupees 703.51 crores and ProFlex order book of around rupees 227.05 crores. In Phoenix Division, the outstanding export orders were to the tune of rupees 122.39 crores, whereas the outstanding domestic orders were rupees 581.13 crores. Equally heartening to note is the fact that the new order intake has remained very strong. Thus, we had an order book of rupees 277.62 crores in Q1 of FY2026 and rupees 394.58 crores in Q2 of FY2026, making the total order book intake of H1 FY2026 of rupees 672.20 crores. Again, as per the announcement made earlier, this does not include the orders received subsequently after 30th of September 2025, which includes a sizable export order of $24 million and a domestic order of INR 98 crores, which have been disclosed separately to the stock exchanges on the basis of the revised materiality guidelines for disclosure of orders as finalized by the board. If we talk about the margins earned by the company in Q2 of FY2026, they have come under some pressure on account of two unfavorable reasons. Firstly, in Proflex division, since the rupee devaluation was extremely sharp and rapid, it caused the foreign exchange loss of around 2.15 crores on imports. Though we have a natural hedge owing to sizable exports that are targeted in the current fiscal, due to a time mismatch, this loss could not be mitigated in the current quarter. Another reason for margin pressure is on the Phoenix division or sport front. As we are all aware, sectoral tariffs were imposed by the US government on imports into the US of all steel and aluminum items in two stages. Initially, a 25% tariff was imposed somewhere in February of 2025, and it was subsequently enhanced to 50% in May of 2025. Majority of the orders taken by us either prior to imposition of the stage 1 tariff in February or stage 2 tariff in May were dispatched during the current quarter. We had to hence renegotiate with the customer, and while some of the increase was absorbed by the customer, a part of it amounting to ₹2.85 crores was required to be absorbed by us, which was not planned earlier, and this also impacted the margins in the current fiscal. Another aspect worth noting is the fact that if you compare this quarter's margin with the margin of the corresponding quarter in the previous fiscal FY2025, it is to be noted that the corresponding Q2 of FY2025 includes the one-time income of ₹14.66 crores, which was booked as a loss of profit compensation, which was agreed to be paid by one of our larger customers against cancellation of a big order by the said customer in fiscal 2023-24. Therefore, and for an appropriate like-to-like comparison in our earning presentation, we have adjusted the Q2 FY2025 margin, and the same should be read accordingly. As you would have observed, we already have a very strong outstanding export order book of about ₹122 crores as of 1st October 2025, which is further strengthened by the additional large export order of USD 24 million received subsequently. I wish to clarify that in all these orders, we have already factored in the impact of the additional tariff while negotiating the prices, and there is only a relatively smaller portion of additional tariff liability to the extent of about ₹50 lakhs, which may have to be absorbed in H2. Further, while because of the impact of higher tariff, the export margins would have come down a little bit, we expect the EBITDA to still remain in higher teens from this business vertical and would obviously be much higher than the EBITDA that we are earning in India. However, it is also to be mentioned that since as per Ind AS revenue recognition norms, the export revenues can be recognized only once the material reaches the US customs premises on delivered basis, effectively considering a 45 days delivery period, the shipment made from India till mid-February can be booked as sales in the current fiscal. Even then, our target is to achieve export sales of about 160 crores in this current fiscal. Through physical shipments of a higher value would have been made out to India, out of India in the current fiscal. As it will be evident, domestic demand undercurrent for both our divisions is very strong. If we talk about the Proflex division, we are fully booked in terms of our available capacity. Thus, we have a healthy order book of two key verticals, with railways and warehousing. The combined order book between these two divisions being more than 50% of our total outstanding order book of 227 crores, and the demand from industrial segment is also healthy. Similarly, in Phoenix division, in the domestic side, the demand from infra as well as industrial segment is quite healthy, with lots of orders continuously coming for greenfield projects in this segment. In order to meet with these increased demands for roofing, we have ordered three more mobile units, one from the UAE and two from the US. The UAE unit is already received and is under erection and will mainly come under operational by December of 2025, whereas the two other mobile units to be imported from the US will become operational in Q1 of FY 2027. We remain very bullish about the massive growth numbers even in the roofing segments from the railways as well as the agri warehousing space. On the PEB front, we remain extremely excited and bullish about the growth prospects in India as well as in the North American market. Thus, with the Cheyyar plan, which will operate fully in the current fiscal, we have strengthened our marketing focus in the southern markets. The Sanand plant, which is the only AISC, which stands for American Institute of Steel Construction, it is the only AISC certified plant in India today, and also the only plant certified recently by the CWB, which is Canadian Welding Bureau, which will operate at near optimum capacity utilization in the current fiscal. Again, we have already commenced the brownfield expansion project implementation at Sanand, involving additional capacity of 20,000 metric tons per annum, which will become operational in Q1 of FY 2027. We will commence the implementation of the JR plant brownfield expansion in the next fiscal with similar additional capacity of 20,000 metric tons per annum, which will become operational in the FY of 2028. As indicated in Q1, we are very much confident of achieving the overall top line of 25% growth in the current fiscal, which will translate into a total top line in the range of ₹1,225 and 1,250 crores, with export sales targeted in the range of ₹160 crores as indicated earlier. We believe that we should be able to maintain a combined higher EBITDA level in the range of around 13% on a full year basis for our current fiscal. I once again wish to convey all our investors for your continued trust and confidence in us. Over to you, Kevin. Thank you.
Thank you, Malav bhai. Highlights of the key performance indicators are as under. The consolidated revenue of the company stood at ₹306.85 crores in Q2 FY26 and ₹544.5 crores in H1 FY2026, showing a growth of 49% in Q2 FY26 and 57% in H1 FY26 on a year-on-year basis. The Proflex division revenues have grown by 57% in Q2 FY26 and 45% in H1 FY26 on a year-on-year basis, whereas the Phoenix division revenue have grown by 47% in Q2 FY26 and 61% in H1 FY26 on a year-on-year basis. In terms of quantity, Proflex division sales stood at 366.675 lakh square meters in Q2 FY26 as against 224.206 lakh square meter in Q2 FY25, and YTD sales quantity of Proflex division was 687.728 lakh square meters in H1 FY26. Phoenix division sales quantity in Q2 FY26 was 15,809 metric ton as against 12,870 metric ton in Q2 FY25. And YTD sales quantity of Phoenix division was 30,631 metric ton in H1 FY26 as against 19,449 metric ton in H1 25. Export sales in Q2 FY26 stood at 53.79 crores, mainly to the US, as against the export sales of 2.99 crores in Q1 FY26, making a total export sales at 56.78 crores in H1 26. EBITDA stood at ₹36.82 crores in Q2 FY26, as against adjusted EBITDA of ₹26.22 crores in Q2 FY25. The normalization adjustment in Q2 FY25 EBITDA being made for an amount of 14.66 crore relating to a one-time compensation amount received as a loss of profit for a cancelled contract, so as to make the same comparable on a quarter-on-quarter basis. Reported consolidated EBITDA margin in Q2 and HY26 is 12% and 12.95% respectively. Other income of rupees 2.32 crores in quarter 2 FY26 includes other operating income of rupees 1.40 crores and other non-operating income of 0.92 crores, whereas the same stood at 6.53 crores in H1 26, which includes other operating income of 5.06 crores and other non-operating income of 1.47 crores. Interest income on bank FD is treated as operating income since this mainly relates to FDs kept as margin deposit with banks for bank guarantee and LC margin. Other expense in Q2 FY26 of rupees 43.24 crores includes export tariff of 12.95 crores, export freight, which includes sea freight, local transportation in USA and transportation from India to US is 7.10 crores, and net foreign exchange loss of rupees 2.15 crores. The net working capital stood at 79 days as of 30th September 25, as against 32 days as of 31st March 25. The increase being mainly attributable to substantial reduction in the level of trade creditors, including buyer's credit, to 70 days as of 30th September 25, as against 126 days as of 31st March 25. I now request the moderator to start the question and answer session. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Raman from Sequent Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes.
So, thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on good set of numbers. Sir, I have few questions. One is with respect to the guidance. You have guided for 1,250 crores of revenue. And in the first half, we have did around 550 crores of revenue. Do you expect this 700 crores worth of revenue to be done executed in H2? And how are you planning to do that? What are the triggers? And we have a consolidated order book of 930 crores. What will be the execution timeline for this?
Right. Raman, this is Malav. See, basically, in our industry, because of the site conditions pertaining to the weather, 40 to 45% of the execution planned for the entire fiscal happens in H1, and the remaining, the majority part of around 60% happens in H2. This is mainly related to the weather conditions and how it affects the project sites, right? Because our execution is mainly related to the site conditions, which is much more favorable in the H2 part of the annual, H2 part of the year, right? So 550 crores translates approximately 42 to 44% of the annual target that we've made, right? The remaining 55 to 60% will come in the H2, and that is a historical trend, right? And since, as I said, it is a project cycle, most of our work happens in H2, right? So that is answer to your question number one. Second, the triggers, what will help us achieve this 60% of execution of the total annual sales is the current order book. Right, we have a very robust order book, which we have just explained to you in my speech as well as KU's speech. This order book will come into, it has already come into play, it is already in our system, which will help us achieve whatever efficiencies, productivity that is going to be required to cross that 1250 mark, right? So that is how we are planning to execute. And this current order book of around 930 plus whatever we have booked till October end, it should take us, our pre-engineered building turnaround time is anywhere between 6 and 8 months, and ProFlex is around 3 and 5 months. So based on our projection, it would take us anywhere between 8 to 9 months to complete the total order book that we currently have on hand.
Just to add, we have adequate capacity for PEB, and we will be operating the Sanand unit at a near 75-80% utilization. Chair plant, the new one, will start operating at around 45-50% from this year. So from that angle also, we are very comfortable. And then the ProFlex, the new third unit which we have just, I mean the first new plant we have imported recently, the additional one, is also becoming operational from December. So adequate capacity is available.
Right. And see, basically we have more than 225 crores of order on hand for ProFlex, which technically speaking, it is work worth for 10 to 11 months. But in the first quarter of next fiscal, the equipment that is arriving from the US, that will come into play. So that will help us shortening our turnaround time and delivering the projects all on time. We are confident about that.
So this follow-up, you said the ProFlex UAE unit, mobile unit, will be operational by December 2025. Can you give the what's the capacity of this mobile unit? And what will be the capacity of the other two mobile units which you are commissioning, which you have commissioned from the USA?
Yeah, so basically all this equipment we buy the same specifications, having the same specifications. So these mobile units have a capacity of 1 lakh square meters per annum per unit.
Effective
utilization, right? So the one that will be added in end of December, it's again on an annual basis, it's going to add a lakh square meters. Same thing about the US equipment.
So basically you will be adding 3 lakh square meter per worth of capacity with the team.
Correct.
Oh, okay. And so my second and last question is, I just want to understand what's your order book to revenue conversion ratio? Like at the start of the year, how much of the, what's the order book to revenue ratio from the start of the year order book?
Yeah. Order book to revenue ratio, meaning it is 800.
Sir, to answer your question, I will give you two numbers or say guidelines. Say my order book as on any date and execution later on, so next year, next period order book will surpass that execution. This is the trend we are having since last 4 to 5 quarters. So, it will remain the same.
Raman, just a minute. Can you put the question in a different way, because order book to revenue ratio, I'm not understanding it clearly.
So, I just want to understand, at the beginning of the year, you have, let's say, 100 crores of order book. And for the full year, you are able to do 150 crores of revenue. So, your order book to revenue ratio is around 1.5. If I'm making sense. So I just wanted to know, is there any metrics like that which you track in terms of growth? Because I just want this, I just want to understand that we have been expanding capacity and new capacity will be coming in. New greenfield capacity will be coming in next year, FY27. So how much growth can we expect in FY27? Because if with the existing capacity we can do.
Yeah, I understood your question. So let us evaluate the current year. As of 1/4/25, my order book was 803 crores, correct?
Mm-hmm.
I did a turnover of 237 crores in Q1. My order book as of 30th June was 842 crores. We did a turnover of 306 in Q2. Now there is an influx of orders where the new order intake is more than my execution, so my order book has gone up to 930 crores. However, the good part is that we are having adequate capacity in Chair, which was underutilized and whose utilization is going up. So I believe that between the two quarters, easily the balance sales should happen and order book conversion will be comfortable in the range of 120 to 130% that we are achieving.
Sorry. So Just a follow-up. If you can throw some growth with respect to FY 2027, given that our new greenfield CapEx will also start, if you can grow, tell something about FY 2027 growth.
Considering the additional capacity and also considering the fact that our exports should grow, I think around 20%-25% is the growth we are targeting. Let us close the third quarter, and we will give you a more clearer guidance. The target is in the range of at least 20%-25% in FY 2027 as well.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Don't treat this as guidance, okay?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Harshit Patel from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much for the opportunity, sir. Sir, we have seen a very sharp uptick in the Phoenix realizations, both on year-on-year basis as well as on sequential basis.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, Mr. Harshit, but your voice sounds very muffled. Can you please speak through handset?
Is this better?
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you. Sir, we have seen a very sharp uptick in the Phoenix realizations, both on year-on-year basis as well as on sequential basis. Is this completely on account of higher contribution from exports or any other factors, if you can highlight?
Largely exports.
Largely exports.
Yes, you're right.
Most part of it is exports because month-on-month, quarter-on-quarter, our export numbers are increasing. Our order intake, our revenues, contribution coming from exports, so that is why you are seeing that uptick on a frequent basis.
Right. Nothing fundamentally has changed with respect to the domestic business.
No change with respect to domestic.
Yeah.
Right.
Here the trends have been more or less the same.
Understood, sir. Sir, secondly, on the Cheyyar plant, wanted to check what are the utilization levels at the moment, and have we reached a stage where the overheads can be absorbed effectively? Also, given that you will be running the Sanand plant at 75%-80% utilization in the second half, and given that the utilization would also be ramping up at the Cheyyar plant, what are our plans post this 20,000 MT expansion at both the sites?
Right. See, basically, I'll take it in a piecemeal. The Cheyyar plant is currently operating at anywhere between 40%-45%, right? We began that operations last year. I don't know if you're aware of that or not. We are slowly and steadily ramping up our monthly output, and we will be reaching around, let's say, 55%-60% utilization of the Cheyyar plant in this fiscal, right?
H2.
In H2.
In H2. Yeah.
Right? Our Sanand plant, see, our capacity, 100% capacity, for example, would be 72,000 tons currently.
Yes.
At my Sanand facility, right? Because of the nature of the product and the product mix, the highest efficiency I can use or achieve is anywhere between 75%-78%, which I am going to reach in this fiscal for Sanand plant. Hence, my Sanand brownfield expansion, we have already taken up. Next year's target, what we have chalked out for the Sanand plant, when this new capacity comes into effect in the first quarter of 2027, it will be available for execution. That's how I can execute more business, achieve a higher volume from my Sanand plant, which would have already achieved the highest capacity utilization in the current fiscal.
Cheyyar is above breakeven actually because major fixed overheads are absorbed in Ahmedabad.
Yes.
There is hardly any major additional sales, marketing, or any other staff that we have kept at Cheyyar. Therefore, Cheyyar is even at 40%-45% above breakeven.
See, basically, our major fixed costs are shared over both the plants, right? The only addition that happened was at plant level personnel. So absorbing that at the current utilization level of 40 to 45%, it is not creating any problem in our expense records or the bottom line.
Yeah.
Understood, sir. Thank you very much for taking my questions. I'll come back.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Nikhil Purohit from Fident Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for the opportunity and congrats on a great set of numbers. So firstly, the question on the one-off income. So could you give some more details, particularly when was this order received, cancelled, and how was this exactly recognized in the books? I mean, our gross margins were optically very high. So could you elaborate on that?
See, I'm not sure whether you recollect as a part of our roadshow, during our roadshow presentation for the IPO, we said that in 23-24, we had a very large order from a Japanese PMC for a battery project. And that was almost about 150 to 170 crore of dispatches. We started production, we were to make major supplies in Q4 of FY24 and Q1 of FY25. This project involved some Chinese engineers also to be here, but for some reason it could not happen. They called it off. That project therefore did not see the ground. So what they did, we had already started production. So they paid us for all the raw materials that we had purchased, whatever direct overheads we had expended, and there was also a loss of profit negotiation. Now, in Q2, they agreed to this loss of profit compensation of about 14.66 crores, which was provided for, actually paid and received in Q3. However, therefore, see what happens when there is a loss of profit without any turnover, it vitiates the comparability of quarter over quarter margins. Therefore, though technically this is very much a part of my own core business, but the nature is sort of a one-time compensation that we received against this contract, and therefore we have made that adjustment only in Q2 FY25 margin to compare the, otherwise you know that margin will appear at about 19%, which is rather abnormal. In H1, whatever is reported is including that figure if you have seen. You get my point?
Understood. That, and that is the reason why it is not treated as an exceptional item.
Exactly. It's not exceptional, but it is one time.
So for a okay. better quarter on quarter, it is.
So similarly, the export tariff, 2.85 crores, I mean, shouldn't that here actually be treated as an exceptional item? Because that was...
No, I'll tell you why. Because, see, I'll tell you, our terms are that we have to, we charge to our subsidiary, and subsidiary in USA bills to the customer
on a delivery
basis. On a delivered basis. Correct. Now, for some of the orders which we had earlier negotiated at older prices, thereafter the tariff imposed in February and May of 25 and 50%, when before making dispatches we started inquiring with the customers and some of them were reluctant, so we decided to absorb it, which was not factored in when we were, you know, we had done the initial maths of our estimate. Therefore it's an additional tariff. Tariff I have to anyway provide for. There is a transportation cost, there is a bought out cost in USA. So on my subsidiary Inc., my subsidiary company, when I bill from India to subsidiary, for them the tariff is an expense. Correct? So for those they recover from the customer. So they first pay clear and then deliver it to the customer and customer pays. However, what was not absorbed by the customer is additional tariff which we had to absorb, which was not anticipated earlier. Hence it is not technically exceptional, but it is very much a part of my consolidated costs which I am incurring for doing business in US.
Okay, understood. Okay, and sir, secondly, so our domestic Phoenix volumes, I think the growth came in just at 11% year on year, if I'm not wrong. In fact, it has declined quarter on quarter after a very, very strong quarter one, of course. Any reasons for this?
I'll take it here. See, if you see, this year monsoon was extra heavy everywhere across India. So, unfortunately, our sites were not ready to take the material, and that is the reason our quarter two, which generally falls in full monsoon time, will result in lower sales or lower tonnage dispatches, though I would have finished goods partly available with us in the form of finished goods.
Okay, but our peers would also be impacted by this if you look at it in the monsoon way. I mean, where the volume growth was not as impacted, I would say. Was there any particular reason that our sites were different or something like that?
So, you're right. So, you know, one aspect was also the fact that we gave a little higher priority in Sanand to exports. The reason is that we were having that overhang of export orders and we had to export quite a bit. So if you see, the export growth is very significant in Q2. And if you look at the overall volume, it is a positive growth.
Correct.
In Q2 over Q1.
Okay. Understood. And realizations are also much higher than peers. I mean, is it because of higher pricing or any reason for this, domestic realizations? 142, I think.
See, generally, we take major complex jobs in India. Our mix will be complex job, where complex jobs have a lot of bought outs also, as well as because of complexity, our pricing is higher than a normal simple box building. So that is the reason you are seeing this sale price of a higher value than peers.
Okay. The installation erection team that we have, that does not impact this at all?
100%.
Installation, yes.
Okay, so that does not impact the realizations as such, right? That is completely different.
Yeah. No. So, when I talk of my consolidated revenue, my realization includes the additional amount that I am realizing on the erection job. Anything
service.
Service is part of the income. So one is the product supply and then the services.
Got it. Okay. And our just last question from my end. Our net working capital days have increased, like particularly payables have massively decreased. Has there been a change in any terms here, and for the full year, where do we see this being at? Payables particularly?
So generally we have two elements. One is the buyer's credit, which generally in the range of, as we have explained in the past, the buyer's credit is a arrangement that we have made where, you know, just on an SBLC, the extended credit is available from foreign branches of Indian banks or GIFT City branches at around 6.5% cost. So that is one element. This particular quarter, buyer's credit was, you know, it has just cyclically got a little on the lower side, and we had made extensive, because of the cash flows and comfortable, just to avail a little more discounts, we had made some decent extraordinary payments to creditors also. I think on a sustainable normal basis, in my view, the working capital cycle, once my turnover goes up, again see what happens, in the next two quarters you will see my turnover going up. I would say a sustainable net margin, including buyer's credit, net working capital could be in the range of 55 to 60 days. This is a little on the higher side.
Understood. Okay, sir. Those were my questions. Thanks for answering them in such detail. Thanks. Thank you.
Thanks, Nikhil.
Thank you. The next question comes from...
Maybe request the participants to restrict it to two questions because of a little longer queue.
Okay, sir. This is a request to all the participants that please restrict yourself to two questions only so that the management is able to answer everybody's question. The next question comes from the line of Raj Sarah from Finvestors. Please go ahead.
So congratulations on good numbers.
Thank you.
My question is, in the first half this year we achieved 56% growth, and while we target 25% overall growth in FY26, is that we mean that there is hardly any growth in the second half over last year as two? That was 644 crore revenue, and we are targeting close to 675 to 700 crore next half year. This is the first question.
That's right. So Raj, see, as we have said, growth is a function of two things. So last year we did about 988 crores. So this year on a 1225 to 1250 crores, it translates to 25% growth. But if you look at last year also, last year the second half was more pronounced and aggressive as compared to first half. So you have to take into consideration the fact that last year second half was near optimum. Chair plant started operating from November, so I had that benefit of extra capacity also available. This is a very realistic growth target we have put on a overall annual basis. I think this is achievable, and we want to remain realistic, and we don't want to, you know, unnecessarily go overboard in committing more.
Okay. And so can you please read out the domestic and export margin? And other thing I noticed in the result, that though you explained the exchange losses and some other adjustments, so what I notice is the expenses goes 20 crore more if I compare it to the last quarter and even the last year same quarter.
So bulk of these other expenses are linked to increased exports. So if you see, my CFO had given the basis of those other expenses, and he will just read out once again the breakup of that other expenses.
So see, the other expenses in Q2 of FY26 of 43.24 crores includes export tariff of 12.95 crores.
Consolidated.
And export freight and sea freight, means which is sea freight and the local transportation in US and India, is 7.110 crores. Net foreign exchange loss is 2.14 crores.
So almost 20 crores is the export related expenses which were not there in Q1.
And last year as well.
Yes.
So how this will be going forward, sir, in S2, sir? Expenses?
What we have always guided, of course we will not, frankly as a matter of strategy, give separate margins for domestic and export business, but export margins are obviously higher, which is pushing my overall margin guidance to about 13%, and I think we should be able to demonstrate that.
And as you asked, as our export increases, because our export business is on delivered basis on site at US. So it will have all the freights, the tariffs, as well as the local freight from US port to the US side. So as my export increases, my other expenses will increase to commensurate the increase in the exports.
Maintaining that higher margin EBITDA.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so I take it 13% EBITDA margin, and our export contribution is going forward, with the other expenses will also rise further.
Yes, exactly.
That's it.
Yeah. Okay, sir. Thank you very much, I wish you best for the future.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Nitin Jain from Fair Value Equity Advisory. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So I have just one question. Do we have any more outstanding orders booked prior to imposition of the tariffs that might impact margins going forward?
So Nitin, we did mention, I think Malav bhai mentioned in his speech, that those old orders with a probable impact of abnormal impact of about 50 lakhs is outstanding. Rest all is factored. वो सब जिनके ही हमने वो यू नो अराउंड 13% का आपको इंडिकेशन दिया है.
सो पेंडिंग ऑर्डर अराउंड 50 लैक्स कैन बी द इम्पैक्ट. वी आर स्टिल ट्राइंग विद आवर कस्टमर्स टू एब्सॉर्ब पार्ट ऑफ इट, बट एट मैक्स इट विल बी अबाउट 50 लैक्स.
राइट, ओके, थैंक यू, दैट्स ऑल फ्रॉम मी.
थैंक यू नितिन.
थैंक यू.
द नेक्स्ट क्वेश्चन कम्स फ्रॉम द लाइन ऑफ प्रितेश छेड़ा from Lucky Investments. Please go ahead.
Sir, I'm unable to reconcile the margin that you have reported in quarter two, even after adjusting for the 5 crore one-off that you have mentioned. And this is only, let's say, with respect to quarter two and your estimate or the expectation now for FY 2026. Because now what has happened is, you guys have highlighted a 14 crore certain accounting income for quarter two last year. So automatically, the FY 2025 reported margin, instead of 13%, becomes 11.5% as a normalized margin, because now a 14 crore number on 950 crore or whatever top line is about 1.5%. And until quarter one call, we were saying that, you know, export is a higher margin versus domestic PV. Proflex is a higher margin versus prefabs. Both of it has cleared out in quarter two. And now we are saying that the margin will move towards 13%. So automatically, what was in quarter one as EBITDA margin to rise higher versus FY 2025 margin of 13%. Now, on a like-to-like basis, it is EBITDA margin flat over 13%, because suddenly this 14 crore is a one-off. So now, is it that the margins will expand for FY 2026 over FY 2025 reported number or not? So that's my confusion. And ideally, if you look at even this quarter's number, with the export now going to 20% of sales, where you have at least a 15% EBITDA on GP, margin should have looked higher. So if you could just solve this, considering not looking at YOY, and just trying to help us, what should be the direction. I hope my question was clear and my data points were clear.
Yes, yes, yes. So Pritesh, there are two factors which I would want to highlight. One, in the current setup of orders for exports that we have been booking, still negotiating the pricing, there is a pressure where, because of the increased tariff, I have to do a trade-off. So as against the scenario when I was, you know, on the road and we were trying to, you know, understand the situation prior to this tariff drama, the arbitrage today in U.S. between what we do and what we supply and what the local people are supplying, which was more than $1,000-$1,200 in a normalized situation, has come down to $400-$500. Which means that earlier, my EBITDAs were in, for U.S., were higher than even 20 and even higher. Now I'm talking of higher teens, means in the range of 15%, 16% to even little higher, after absorbing all this situation. That is point number one. Point number two, in Proflex, what has happened, most of my raw materials are imported. Because of the current 88 rupees, at which I am currently booking my imports, the selling prices, jo automatically itna increase hona chahiye, wo nahi ho raha hai. Which means that my margins on Proflex are also slightly impacted, even in a normal situation. And PV being competitive, local domestic business is as competitive. So we have assumed a scenario that there is no further improvement, and we have to maintain and our, do the business exactly in the same way we have been currently doing. This 13% as a blended margin has been guided. It can improve if any of these factors improve, but at this point in time, this is a conservative way we look at it.
So now you are saying that the margin number is 13, versus whatever adjustment that I was referring to.
Yeah.
Is to do with incremental inflow coming at a-
13 is after first 6 months, 12. That means my next 6 months margin will be higher.
Yes, so now our discussion with you is annual. So now I'm not discussing what this quarter, because there is an adjustment of 1.5% in the full year number last year. So I'm trying to do full year to full year assessment. Now, let's go back to quarter one. Quarter one is about a month and a half back, and quarter one, and your, the way your backlogs are structured, you would have visibility for straight 9 months, because your today, this year's revenue is a function of the backlog that you are carrying. All these things are 9-month execution. So then what you're referring to as a comment to my question was incremental. That should go and affect your 27 margin, not 26. So here I am a little bit confused. If you could...
Let's do an offline call tomorrow day after for about 10-15 minutes and then we can do a proper justice. But what we have done is after factoring what actually we have done, what is the current order book and how things are panning out, this 13% blended EBITDA on a year over full year basis is what we have thought it as a reasonable figure to be given.
I just confirm this is X under income.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Okay, thank you, sir.
But including my operating income, drop tap and other export benefits, etc.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Utkarsh Chanana from SMC Private Wealth. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yeah.
Hi, sir. Congratulations on a good set of number. I just wanted to clarify, I was going through the DRHP and there were related party transactions related to Phoenix Building Solutions for FY22, 23 as well as 24. So I just wanted to understand the rationale which you had for and the reason for which you acquired Phoenix Building Solutions in March.
No, so it's very simple. Earlier we used to separate out the jobs that we received on the supply side and erection side. What we were doing earlier, that all the jobs BBSPL was taking as separately, and you know, it was within the group, but what we did in order to remove the conflict, we made that company our wholly owned subsidiary. So now as a subsidiary, 100% subsidiary, though the currently the supply jobs are in the name of MNB and erection is in the name of BBSPL, we consolidate and show it as one consolidated performance. So there is no other related party. It was just, you know, and earlier the tax structure was also a little complicated. Now things are very easy with the GST, unified GST regime.
All right, sir. And sir, one more thing. Can you shed some light on Phoenix Energy Service Private Limited, which was a subsidiary and acquired by the promoters?
Sir, Phoenix Engineering Services Private Limited was incorporated just to have the erection order, but finally the group considered that going with a new company, instead of going with a new company, going with an old company with a track record, with all our existing customer is good. So Phoenix Building Solution was already having a track record with all the customers, so we stick to Phoenix Building Solution. So having no utility for Phoenix Engineering Services, we get sold off that.
I mean, it's a non-operative.
Non-operative. Yeah.
All right, sir. Thank you so much.
Other related party, no.
Yes.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Vedant from Mask Investment. Please go ahead.
Sir, I wanted to know, in last quarter we had some 20 crore export which we had exported and not built, which we booked this quarter. What would be that number for Q2 that we have dispatched but not yet booked?
So currently the number is 22 crores, roughly 22 crores which is unbilled, so delivered but yet to be built.
Okay, that we will book in Q3. Right.
Yeah, but then you know it is a normalizing thing. It will go on.
Quarter over quarter. Yeah, it's a cycle.
Okay, so we can expect it to increase in Q3 and Q4, like different.
I think
right?
So. You're
yes.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. Fine. Thank you, sir. That's it.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Devang Patel from Sameeksha Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, could you guide us on what will be the capex on each of the 20,000 ton capacity expansion plans, and of the total amount, what will be will we be spending in FY26 and how much in FY27?
Sir, the capex for this current year will be around, say, 60 crores, to the tune of 60 crores, and next year it will be under the IPO, so the balance of the IPO projections will be done in the second year, which will be, again, 60 to 70 crores.
Okay. Sir, and secondly, when I look at the Phoenix order book breakup, 51% comes from infra. When I look at the order book breakup for our peers, they have a much higher percentage, maybe 60-70% plus coming from industrial. So is the nature of our PEP order book and the work includes more supply and different kind of order book breakup than peers?
You know, maybe our guess is that there could be a different nomenclature that each company uses, right? What we call as industrial, maybe we are categorizing that into infra. But the nature of projects and the expansions and the capex which is happening in India, it is, whichever industry they are working in, we would be working in the same industry. So probably it is a matter of different nomenclature.
So just to elaborate, if it's a warehousing job, we automatically categorize as an infra, but if it is a warehousing related to an industry, it is actual industrial.
Correct.
So, I mean, we don't see any such, I would say we are a bit agnostic to this, and there is enough flow from pure industrial side as well.
Okay. And when we say infra, does it include any of the government infrastructure jobs?
No, not at all. Bridge girders we are doing. So we have a few orders for bridge girders for flyover in Mumbai, but it is through an EPC contractor. We are not directly supplying to the billing to the government. So that is one of our heavy structural division is there where we take heavy
bridge girder work.
That would be what portion of our order book?
That will be around
5 to 7%.
Yeah.
Okay. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Smith Doshi from Okane Capital. Please go ahead.
Am I audible?
Yeah.
So I have one question with regards to that abnormal items like abnormal tariff and on the forex loss side. So on the tariff side, we have absorbed around 2.85 crores, right? So in last year,
can you be a little more clear?
Please
be through handset. So in tariff absorption side, 2.85 crore is what absorbed in quarter two. So actually in August 25, 2025, we have clearly said in opening remarks that our US export are subject to sectoral tariff, which is borne by the US customers. So we have only one month left for closing of quarter two. So if we are knowing that we have to absorb, then we should be very much clear about the communication side. So I think we can improve that reporting and governance side of that side. That is what I feel so. And second thing is on the forex loss side, in slide number 8, your for exchange fluctuation gain is 77 lakhs rupees and exchange fluctuation loss is 2.15 crore. So net exchange fluctuation is 1.37 crore, not 2.815 crore. That is what two questions I have.
See, for the export orders, as I earlier said, see, it is always our endeavor to ask our customer because there were two tariffs that happened. One was in February and one was in May. So we had always requested our customers to consider our request to absorb, and we introducing new customers and new general contractors, we thought it would be prudent to help them also. So if you see overall in my 53 crore, there was a hit of only 2.85 crores, right? Vis-a-vis the duty structure would be around 50%. Effective will be around, because we split between the US and India, so effective will be much lesser. But then also compared to
what it would have come to the full 53%. Most of our customers have taken a hit as well. And as you rightly said that in Q1, we were still trying with our customers it was under negotiation to absorb as much as possible. Therefore, our indication we were unable to give at that time. Post that, all the new orders that have been received after May, which is the imposition of tariff, already it has been fully factored in. So new orders, the recent $24 million order also will not have any impact on the duty.
See, it was a logical choice at that point in time. While our call in August of 2025, we were also at the same time negotiating with our customers. And see, we are relatively a new entrant in the US market. It made more logic and sense for us to contain the customer rather than going for a one-time gain and having the customer absorb all the tariff, the blow that was arising out of the tariff, right? So we chose to keep the long-term customer and maybe absorb the short-term loss that is incurring. Right, so it was a logical choice with the board made, and the idea was to retain, and which we achieved, of keeping our customers on our side. So that was the whole deal.
Okay, and on the forex loss side.
Yeah, to answer your question, sir, see, if you see my past history and everywhere, it is always a gain. We always show gain as well as the loss. Now, what we have reported as a separate item, so which has impacted our EBITDA, is loss which is in of the Proflex division. So that pertains to Proflex division, whereas gain is in Phoenix division. So we have mentioned both. Net, as you are right, that net is lower than what we have mentioned, but the loss, we want to highlight the loss, what we have incurred in the Proflex division.
Just for the purpose of bifurcation between
and
loss and profit.
What I think what Kevin is saying is that we are reporting this on a net basis, but the fact of the matter is that if this loss had not been incurred, then the gain would have been reported as a gain and there was no loss.
No loss.
So the netting off does not reduce that loss. It is just a presentation.
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Vandit Shah from Abacus Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on great set of numbers. So my first question relates to this export order of $22 million which we have received. So can you throw some light from when will we see it coming in our books? Like from when do we see supply starting for this order? And as you highlighted before, it has now the margins in the export order has decreased a bit. So can we assume that it's on the same high teens margin we have received this order?
See, I'll answer both your questions. First is, as we speak, this project is under the engineering phase. So, according to our plan and targets, we should be able to start dispatching this project sometime in the last week of December or first week of January. Right? So, let's say if you are considering the export benefit we get in this fiscal, whatever I dispatch from here, by 10th of February, I will be able to bill. So whatever I can do by between end of December and 10th February, which will be the part of the big project that we can dispatch and take gain of the same in this fiscal. Second, see, because of the 50% tariff, right, I have to be competitive. I have to be competitive in the US market, especially when I am a new entrant, right, when I am trying to establish and increase my customer base. So we have to take a little bit of a pressure on the market, but it will not, it is definitely going to be much better than what we are doing in the Indian market.
Yeah,
it will
be
anywhere
in the higher teens, you're right.
Got it, sir. So my second question is for the in the roofing segment. So we have seen a great volume growth in the roofing segment. Can you throw some light what has changed over there?
change per se.
In
terms of how the demand is going up.
Correct. Or we were expecting 10 to 15% volume growth in the 10 to 15% growth in the roofing segment. The growth has been around.
Much better.
Volume growth has been 64%.
So, see, there is a very high tailwind for this product, as we had earlier said, that we have been pushing for grain warehousing and railway opportunity as well as the SME, and everywhere it is panning out. The acceptability of our product has improved quite a bit, and therefore because of the high demand, if you see my current order book is about 227 crores, right, and this I have to execute probably in the next 6 to 7 months. Therefore we have preponed the need to add equipment, and therefore as we have earlier indicated that we would be adding two more, but we have instead ordered three more equipment with higher number of jobs that I have. My efficiency always improves, because if my two jobs are near to each other, like within 50 kilometers or 100 kilometers, my efficiency improves, and therefore this growth in numbers has happened from H1 to H1 of this fiscal and last fiscal. But we are seeing a very robust demand going forward in the self-supporting business. We have an outstanding inquiry about 17 lakh square meters. So these 17 lakh square meter inquiries will get converted into orders in the coming months.
So just to answer your question, the tailwind comes from railways as well as warehousing in a big way. Secondly, SME segment demand continues, but even bigger companies who are in middle or, the mid-market or higher industrial major, bigger industrial units, for their warehousing they are preferring. So we have got many jobs even from large corporates for the roofing. Like, for example, Ultratech, etc.
Ultratech, Reliance, other large industrial corporates.
And our order book has increased by 150% over the last few months, you know, so, and that automatically translates into higher execution, which is what you are witnessing.
Got it, sir. And so one last question on the cash flow front. Sir, our operating cash flow has come at 6 to 8 crores. So any view by year end, where will we reach? So I understand that the trade payables have impacted the cash flow from operation, but have we set up any targets?
Sir, exactly. Whatever you have viewed is correct. So it is under strain because it has reduced, but that is due to only high payment under the trade creditors. But cash flow is very comfortable, so trade creditors, we always plan cash purchase according to the fund plan we have. So it will be always under comfortable position.
There is no exact budget for cash flow, but it will be always positive.
Yes.
And comfortable. Operating.
Got it.
Yes.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Vandit.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Saumil Mehta from Kotak Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So two questions. In continuation to one of the previous participants' question, now we completely agree that there are, you know, headwinds in the US market because of the tariffs and also the raw material cost increase in both the business maybe. Now, you know, assuming this uncertainty remains at least for the next 3 or 6 months, no one knows the timeline. But at this point in time, the order winnings, what you will do will be based on the conservative outlook. So is it fair to assume that if not more, but at least even for the first half of FY27 or the first 9 months, the margins on an overall basis in the export market will be structurally lower than what we were envisaging maybe a year, year and a half back. I'm not telling it will continue in 28, but at least in 6-9 months, given whatever you will build now, will execute in the next 6-9 months.
So, Sanjay, you are right in your assumption. The only thing can change is that if there is a proper, I don't know, trade pact and if things start becoming again normal, we will have to see. But otherwise, what you are saying is right. We have to be conservative, and rather than going overboard, we believe that this is a minimum sustainable level at which we are operating.
And secondly, even after considering the 50% impact of tariff, this large order we have got, and another a few more other large orders are under final negotiation. So still, customers in US are finding our product at a much
reasonable
pricing, right? Had it not been this tariffs, the acceptability would have been much better, and for us, the margins would have improved drastically. But as you rightly said, because of the environment currently where we are in, what is going to happen, what their Supreme Court is going to say, or what Trump is going to act in the next one quarter, but still the people's acceptability of our product is very high in the US, as well as we will be doing much better margin than our domestic market, and which will help us keep a much better improved margin
profile overall
on a consolidated basis.
That is very clear. How all of it?
See, basically, we will try as much as possible to strike a fine balance between creating and expanding our customer base and the prices. AF fine balance apne maintain kari sun, right?
Sure, no, I understand that.
Yeah.
Sure. And a second question, you know, for Keyurbhai, now I understand the payables have come down, but ideally that should have given some sort of benefits in terms of the procurement cost or something. So, I mean, has that benefit come into this quarter, and what would be a ballpark number, if at all, which probably has also arrested a meaningful decline in otherwise margins could have been?
No, sir, whatever we have planned as a cash purchase or say other way around, like factoring or other sources, which has helped reducing our creditors, are mainly for stocking purpose, which is currently for the stock and which will be consumed in next coming quarter. So the impact will coming into the next quarter.
Okay. Fine. Got it. Thank you so much and all the best for subsequent.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Yaman Kumar from Findoc. Please go ahead.
Hello, I'm audible.
Yeah, yes.
So I just wanted to know one, I just got one question. So in the DRHP, it is mentioned that you have a capacity of 18 lakhs for ProFlex business, for SQM meter. So is that correct? Because in your last con call, you have said that your one unit can only produce up to 1 lakh of SQM per annum.
Correct. You have in DRHP we have shown as the installed capacity. My actual execution capacity will be about 75% of my installed capacity. So the rated capacity, what you are saying is correct, but my actual execution capacity will be pushing to 75 and at best 78 to 80%.
But see, because they are mobile plants, I have to shift from one location to other. So transit time and all those factors have to be factored in.
It is.
अगर एक plant को एक जगह पे continuous चलाता हूँ तो आराम से I can do 1.5 lakh. It's no problem.
Okay. Thank you so much. That's all so much. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Shivam Kumar, an investor. Please go ahead.
I think it's dropped off. Can you move to the next question? Moderator?
Mr. Shivam? Please unmute your line and speak. As there is no response from Mr. Shivam, our next participant is from KV from Sequent Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello sir, I just have a follow-up with respect to the capacity.
what's the Chennai capacity? Is it like 31,800 or has it increased to 72,000?
31,800.
Yeah. That will increase. So the greenfield capex. Yeah, the greenfield CapEx will come next year when?
Brownfield will be next year in Cheyyar. It will be available in FY28. Then it will be about 52,000.
Okay, understood. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Vedant from Mask Investment. Please go ahead.
Sir, considering the margins, the new orders we have booked at lower margins, so what would be the margin trajectory in FY27 versus 13% that you have guided for FY26?
Mr. Vedant, I think it is a bit premature, but you can say a minimum sustainable 13, let us see. But it is not to be treated as a guidance, let us see and wait for a quarter more.
Okay, so... we can expect at least based on current condition at least.
Yeah, I think so. 13 could be the baseline number on which you should work.
And the last quarter we have mentioned that we are expecting new orders to be in 50 to 100 crore range and we got a good order in US of about 200 CR. So any other big orders in pipeline from US or domestic side?
Yes, above 100 CR? There are quite a few. We'll be making announcements as we get.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Any pipeline if you can give, sir, of these under the
negotiation? It will be a bit premature. Yeah.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Jainam Doshi from Chris PMS. Please go ahead.
I think, moderator, let this be the last question.
Okay, sir.
Thank you. Thank you for providing the opportunity. Just wanted to understand what was the operating margins of Proflex last year and going ahead, what is the steady state margins which we can expect?
We do not share our individual vertical margins, but you please kindly look at it as a blended margin only. But last year and this year, Proflex so far is more or less in sync, a little bit under pressure because of increased raw material costs, but we are trying to absorb it through increasing in the selling prices, but it is an ongoing process.
Okay, got it. Thank you, that's it. Yes.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today's call. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Chirag Patel, Joint Managing Director, for closing comments.
Thank you very much, everyone. Thank you all the shareholders. I hope we have been able to give an insight on the quarter and the coming quarters.
And we always remain available for your further queries. Thank you.
Yes.
And have a good evening.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
On behalf of MNB Engineering Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.